good to you, somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. If he's done something for you, somebody ought to put their hands together and praise the Lord. Somebody told me he's worthy to be praised. Amen, somebody. Giving honor to God, who was first in my life, to the angel of this house, my friend, my pastor. I think this is the first time that any pastor has ever introduced me. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. To the officers of this very fine church, to the choir, to the musicians, to the ushers, to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I greet you on this awesome Sabbath day, Sunday, with Jesus' joy. And I heard it said this way, I got a joy that the world didn't give me, and the world can't take it away. I also want to give honor today for one of the Shiloh deacons. Deacon Davis, just stand up for me, please. Shiloh Baptist Church. Give the Lord a praise offering. Deacon Gerald Davis has not been with Shiloh a long, long time, but he has come in with a spirit of work, loves his pastor, but most of all, he loves Almighty God. And I stand here this morning before God's children to let you know before him that I appreciate him. Not only that, I look over to my right and to you all's left. I know I'm safe now. My mom is here. Amen, somebody. Amen. Come on, mom, stand up. Stand up for me, mom. Come on now. Amen. Give honor to God for even her sister and my aunt, Aunt Ollie Johnson, is here this morning. Amen. They told me a long time ago, you always save the best for last. As we were coming this morning, my wife dropped an earring under the seat. So she told me, she says, well, I'll just go in with the one. So I told her, I says, wait, babe, let me go under the seat and get this earring. Then when I found it, I gave it to her, and I says, you got to go in here looking right, because you are the best thing of me. Come on, somebody. I tell her all the time that when you are my right arm, you make me look good. Amen, somebody. But I sincerely say to you, amen. But I sincerely say to you that Sister McBride is, you all know her, is special to this man of God. I love her. I think the last time she told me she loved me. And for sure, she's the apple of my eye. Amen, somebody. And I promise you this, when I leave, I'm taking her with me. Amen. Let me say this also. I want to give honor also to Reverend Asma, God bless you, sir. Wonderful prayer. And also the young man that did the mind dance to Brother Frank Govergo. Awesome and beautiful. And Reverend Armstrong had already mentioned to me, and I don't know if you're in here right now, but I'm sure going to reach out to you, because when you all come to us on the 11th of next month, I sure want you to come and let God use you in a mighty way. My brothers and sisters, there is a word from the Lord. And I ask, if you are able, that you would stand with me and turn to the book of Acts. Acts, the 15th chapter. And for your hearing, I want to read verses 36 through verse 40. As you are turning and preparing, on behalf of Sister McBride and myself, it's beautiful and wonderful always to come home. You all, I talk about you and brag about you all the time because you are fine people in the name of Jesus. The book of Acts, the 15th chapter, starting at verse 36, the word of God reads, "Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us now go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.' Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Then the contention became so sharp that they parted from one another. And so Barnabas took Mary and sailed to Cyprus, Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being commanded by the brethren to the grace of God." This is God's word for God's people. Let us say amen. Amen. Pray with me, please, on the title and the thought for this sermon. It's hard to forgive, and it's harder to forget. It's hard to forgive, and it's harder to forget. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We praise. We magnify your holy name. For being in your service one more time. Thank you for Zion songs. Thank you for effectual and fervent prayers of a righteous man, because the Bible said they avail much. But now, Father God, we come to hear a word from on high. Take this, sir, your servant, this empty vessel and these clay lips, and use them to your glory. For I believe, Father, when you speak, somebody here may come asking, "What must I do to be saved?" And then for the remainder of us that have already confessed and believed in our heart that you raised Jesus from the dead, a closer walk with thee. Have your way, Holy Ghost. Bless right now. In Jesus' name, let us all say amen. It's hard to forgive, and it's hard to forget. I have a question that I want to ask you. When was the last time someone hurt you? When was the last time that someone spoke to you undeserving? When was the last time that someone hurt you that was close to you? How long ago was it? Was it just last month? Last week, yesterday, or even was it even this morning? Are any of these hurts now scars that have never been healed? You can always tell when someone is hurt and they've been scarred severely, because when you speak to them, they're able to tell you the exact time, the exact date, and where it took place. There are some hurts and scars that even over time, you never forget that moment. I don't consider myself to be a prophetic preacher, and I know that I'm not God. But one thing that I'm assured of is that everyone here today carries some hurt and some wounds. If I'm talking to you, somebody ought to holler, amen. Matthew 10:36 tells you and I, "And a man's enemies will be those in his own household." Let me say it this way. Those that are closest to us are the ones that will normally hurt us the most. Brothers and sisters, offenses are inevitable. It's kind of what Jesus speaks about in the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, that it's impossible to go through this life without being offended. I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't even care how sanctified you are. We all have been mistreated. As a matter of fact, Jesus, who is God incarnate, who came not to destroy but to save, who gave sight to the blind, healed the lame, raised the dead, who took a few fish and loaves of bread and fed 5,000. But even in that crowd, there were some, come on somebody, the very ones who cried out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the highest." But it was just a few days later, they cried out, "Crucify him." I stopped by to help somebody this morning. If they did it to Jesus, then who are you and I? If they took offense against Jesus, who was God and was sinless, then who are we but sinners saved by grace? It is well documented and said that to be hurt and scarred is one of the devil's productive tools in destroying our relationships. And if you're not careful, he'll also destroy your relationship with Almighty God. Let me say it again. I'm not a prophetic preacher. And I'm certainly not God, but I know that if you hold on to your past hurts, it will make your life unproductive. If you don't let go of that anger, it will turn into bitterness, full of strife, because the devil will incarcerate you. And if you're not careful, the devil wants you in a place where you're not able to forgive or not willing to forgive. Every one of us knows what it's like to be hurt. Amen, somebody. So bad that forgiving ain't on the agenda. Forgiving is not a natural response, but it is a godly command. But retaliation, yeah, I can do that. Revenge, yeah, I do that pretty well too. Cussing somebody out, yeah, I got a degree in cussology. My. We know how to get even. But forgiving is hard to do. That is why you and I are challenged today when Peter says to Jesus, "How many times must I forgive someone who has done me wrong?" Jesus said 70 times 7. We're challenged when Jesus says, "If you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you." In my sanctified imagination, I can hear somebody in the congregation saying, "Pastor, Reverend, Jesus, you just don't understand my hurt, my pain, the sacrifices that I have made. It's hard to forgive, and I sure can't forget." In my sanctified imagination, I see Jesus turning and saying, "Look at the nail prints in my hands. Look at the prints in my feet. And as I hung there, I prayed unto the Father, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.'" Listen, beloved of God. When you don't forgive, you just damage yourself. Because if you can't forgive your brother who you see every day, how can you ask God for forgiveness who you've never seen? But I will admit, it is a very difficult thing to do. But let me say it again, it is commanded by God that we forgive one another, that we may be released from our past pains and be ushered into the glorious future that God has for you and I. For all that has been said and done thus far, it leads me into our text. It's hard to forgive, and it's even harder to forget. Now, if you're sitting there right now hearing the sermon, and the first thought that comes to your mind that this is for somebody else, you've already missed the sermon. Come on, I need some help this morning. Somebody look at their neighbor and say, this is for me. Now turn to the other side and say to the other neighbor, this is for me. Also, we're going to be all right now. We are right now. We are right now. Brothers and sisters, I believe that every day someone is on a demonic assignment to offend you and I. Every day the devil wakes somebody up to disrespect us and even to get on our last nerve. Even in the church, the devil will do something to offend you. How many of us know that he's in here? Oh, he's here. Come, let me tell you something. When the door opened, because he knew that the name of Jesus was going to be lifted up, he showed up. But I confess and decree he is a liar. In the name of Jesus, this text written by the Apostle Paul. Paul is one of the great examples in the Bible on how to live like a Christian. The author of 13 epistles or 13 books of the New Testament, almost half of the 27. Paul, the powerful teacher, preacher, and one of the greatest evangelists that has ever lived. Known as a theologian and even a counselor. Some theologians believe that he, more so than Peter, John, and James, did more to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. He perhaps had many more pearls than all of his contemporaries. But it might surprise you, brothers and sisters, that Paul himself struggled with forgiveness. Paul had an issue of letting things go. And you see that in this text with his brother by the name of John Mark. Yes, yes, the same John Mark that wrote the first gospel, but is the second gospel book in the New Testament. This same John Mark who had a relationship with Paul that became contentious. To get a good understanding of this relationship between Paul and John Mark, for a moment, I need to go back to Acts chapter 7. It is there where Stephen, the deacon, was stoned to death. And it caused panic, and the disciples and the people fled to other cities to escape the same fate. To go to different cities like Cyprus and Cyrene, but it is in Antioch where the Christians fled from Jerusalem, and it was there in Antioch where the gospel began to thrive. Sinners were saved and Gentiles were converted. As a matter of fact, brothers and sisters, Antioch is a very important place in Christian biblical history because it was there that the first time the children of God was called Christians. Because of the success of the gospel in Antioch, that the disciples and from Jerusalem wanted to send a few brothers to Antioch to make certain that the gospel that was being preached was real. Come on, somebody. Amen. 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 I stumble every now and then, but I can find another word. Amen. Amen. So your dictionary might be a little larger than mine, but I can get it. I'll find something, y'all. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And the Bible says because of the success of the gospel there in Antioch, that Barnabas realized through prayer that he needed some help. The Bible says he went and got Paul. Paul, who was in Tarsus. You know Paul, who was once Saul, who was converted on the road of Damascus in Acts chapter 9. Barnabas partners with Paul to pastor the church in Antioch. Well, Barnabas and Paul are in Antioch, and a prophet sent by God by the name of Agabus comes and tells the brethren that there's a famine about to break out in Jerusalem. So because of their concerns, they say that they lift up an offering and took it back. Barnabas and Paul took it back to Jerusalem. Bible tells us after delivering the offering, they returned to Antioch, to the surprise that Barnabas and Paul are not alone. They are accompanied by John Mark. Theologians have said that John Mark and Barnabas may be even related. Now back in Antioch are Paul, Barnabas, and John Mark. Let me fast forward to get where I'm going. But let me fast forward to chapter 13 that says that the Christians there were praying and fasting, and the Holy Ghost showed up. Let me pause for a moment and tell somebody, if you've been need something from the Lord, it's good to pray. But every now and then, some things don't come out except by prayer and fasting. I'm reading a book right now on prayer, and it is blessing my soul. Not that I didn't know it, but let me share with somebody. Prayer ain't nothing but communication with God. The question that you may ask, and when did God speak to me, that I need to pray to Him? It's in the Word. When you read the Word, God is speaking to you and I. And then we pray back to Him based on the understanding that He gives us from His Word. And I've come to find out there are times, brothers and sisters, that it's all right to pray even on your knees and as you're moving about. But every now and then, this life will cause you to put your face to the floor. Come on, somebody. To call on the name of Jesus like you've never called on Him before. And I believe as He showed up then, that the Holy Ghost will show up also. In the name of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit says, give me Paul and Barnabas for an assignment. Paul and Barnabas are ordained by the Holy Spirit to leave Antioch and now sail to the other cities to preach the good news. The Holy Spirit says, go to Pergamos, Pamphylia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. Preach the word of God. So they go as the Holy Spirit ordained them to do. But look, they took John Mark. Say John, somebody say John Mark. Are you with me? Listen, the first stop on the journey was Paphos. And when they arrived, it says that they ran into a sorcerer by the name of Bar-Jesus. Things get out of hand, and there is some contention. And I can understand that, because wherever the devil shows up, things just ain't gonna be right. Paul and Barnabas, they work it out, and they have success in Paphos. Then they sail on to Pamphylia. When they get to Pamphylia, they were surprised that John Mark says, I can't take it no more. I can't take it no more. He says, this is not for me. Listen. They've only been in one city, had one incident. Come on, somebody. And John Mark quits. Now it's Paul and Barnabas continuing on their journey. Mark returns to Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas, they continue on. Stay with me, please. They now go to Jerusalem to debate the necessity over the rites of circumcision, which Paul wins the debate. Now the Holy Spirit comes to Paul and says, now I want you to go back to Pergos, Pamphylia. I want you to go back to Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe and check on those that you've already preached to. Paul says to Barnabas, we must go back where we've come from. Barnabas says, cool. Let me go get John Mark. And Paul says, oh, no. Come on, somebody. Oh, no. I'm still in church trying to do my best. And Paul becomes adamant that Mark is not going on this trip. Barnabas pushes back and says to him, no, Mark has to go. Now Paul and Barnabas argue about Mark so deeply that they part ways. Listen to me, church. And they never work together again. Because in chapter 15, you see a Paul who has not forgotten nor forgave. As we search this text, you will find the effects of not forgiving and not forgetting. And let me just pause for a moment and say this, brothers and sisters, there are some things in this Christian walk that are difficult to deal and do on our own. Forgetting and forgiving, let me just go ahead and say it, if there is anything that hurts the community of God's church, is not able to forgive one another. Come on, somebody. I know I'm right about it. We come to God's house with our Sunday fancies on, sit in the same pew, cut an eye at somebody. Come on, somebody. Because they crossed over you, and how about this? Somebody even said, that's my seat. Come on, somebody. That's my seat. And we done got so bad that if you really look good on Sunday, some folk gonna turn their nose up at you anyhow. Oh, see, we see, come on, we in church. Come on, it's all right, it's all right. We in church. Forgiving is difficult. And there are some things in our Christian life, again, I don't care how saved and sanctified you are, we all need to be delivered from some stuff. Amen, somebody. And there, you can't do it on your own. They never work again. With Barnabas, and again, Paul is adamant that Mark will not be part of this next trip. But Barnabas presses the issue that they as Christians should be able to work it out. What Barnabas does not understand is an offense sometimes cannot be reconciled. Let me say it again. After an offense has happened, some relationships cannot be reconciled. This may be a shock to many of you because you are under the misconception that forgiveness automatically means reconciliation. There is nowhere in scripture where God equates forgiveness with restoration of relationship. Sometimes the hurt is so bad that even when you forgive, you may never forget and be the same. It is not ungodly that if you forgive somebody, then you have the right not to be bothered with them anymore. It's a Christian's right to say, I forgive you, but may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent from one another. Oh, see, y'all know about that. Amen, amen. The reason why this story is so devastating is because on paper, Paul and Mark, as Christian brothers, both writers of the New Testament ought to be able to work it out. And you would think, because they were in the church, that they ought to be able to work it out. But Barnabas makes the same assumption that many of us in the church make. But here's the question. It may not be ordained by God. Stay with me a little while. I want to prove my point. We have two categories of people. Those that God has assigned to our life, and those who just came in our life. Come on, somebody. You have people who God placed in your world, and then you have folk who you just let in. And sometimes God, who allows an offense in a relationship because he never ordained that relationship in the first place. You don't have to say amen or even agree, but I got some biblical proof. When you go home, read Acts chapter 13 in its entirety. Here's what it says. God called and ordained Barnabas and Paul. It says they even laid hands on them to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. But somebody say this with me. But they took John Mark. John Mark was not ordained by God and commissioned for the trip. Let me say it again. God allows the offense into this relationship because John Mark shouldn't have been there in the first place. How do I know it, Reverend Armstrong? Because I'm reminded of another text with Abram and Lot. Come on, somebody. The Bible says that God told Abram to get out of the land, away from his family, and go to a place that I'll show you. And the Bible says they was journeying up on the hillside. Come on, somebody. They both had much cattle and goods, and the handmaids became contentious. And Abram comes to Lot and says, no, we're not going to be contentious between one another. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. And if you don't want it that way, I'll go to the left and you go to the right. Listen to me, church. God told Abram, take your wife, your maidservants, and all your goods. He never told him to take Lot. Come on, somebody. And any time that we get to a place where we start moving on our own and God has not ordained it, contention is going to come. And all of your sanctification and all that you know about God's word, you got to be careful who you allow in your world. Because not everybody that smiles in your face is your friend. Come on, there's a whole lot of hanging on folk. There's a whole lot of folk that want to steal what God has blessed you with. And there's a whole lot of folk, if you ain't careful. No, I'm going to go ahead. Come on, come on, come on. John Mark was not ordained by God. God called into partnership Paul and Barnabas. And God allowed the offense because Mark was not part of God's plan at that time. Other words, God will allow an offense in your life with some people because they aren't a part of God's plan. Preach the word, Arch. Go ahead and preach it. We just got a little while. Just preach the word. You cannot force relationships. What God's providence has not ordained. The Bible says that which God has joined together. But we have gotten into some relationship that God has nothing to do with. And offenses come to break us apart. Let me be biblically correct. Paul and Barnabas' offense was not that they never worked again. They never reconciled. But here's what blows my mind. If you read 2 Timothy, where Paul writes a letter to his son in the gospel, he writes him in Timothy in chapter 4, and he tells Timothy, come, because I need you. Paul is about to die. And he tells Paul, come. I need to see you. And then he tells me, because everybody else has abandoned me. Demas left. Crescion has left. Titus has left. The only one that is still here is Luke. Yes, Luke, the physician who wrote the third gospel. But watch this. When he writes the letter to Timothy and he tells him to come as soon as he can, listen. He also says, bring John Mark with you. Because he will be useful to me. Watch this, church. Paul and Barnabas never reconciled, but Paul is dying, but he wants to deal with Mark. Now the relation that had been contentious in chapter 15 of Acts, now Paul wants to restore it. The question is, what is happening that Paul now wants to see John Mark? But he doesn't want to deal with Barnabas. Truth of the matter is, I don't. But I can tell you what happened. You ready? Time. Come on, say it with me. Time. I heard Moses use it in a simple analogy in Psalms 90 and 4. For 1,000 years in the sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Peter even says in 2 Peter, but don't overlook this one fact, beloved, that the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. Peter cautions his readers of this one fact, that God's perspective on time is different than yours and mine. Amen, somebody. Somebody told me he's sovereign. He does what he wants, when he wants to, and for whoever he wants to do it to. God is not moved by you and I. Let me be perfectly clear. The next time that something happens into your life and it surprises you, I need to remind you that nothing is a surprise to God. God already knew in eternity past. Matter of fact, Ephesians tells me he foreknew. In other words, God knows everything that's going on. He knew what time you woke up this morning. Let me get a little personal. He knows what you got on this morning before you even put it on. He knows what the rest of your day is going to be like, because he's God. All by himself. Not only can some relationships not be restored, but some that are restored over time. You and I are commanded to forgive one another. But if it is restored, it's God's time. He's the only one that can heal a scarred and a broken heart. Come on, somebody. You and I may be able to get some glue and put a plate or a glass back together, but God is the only one that can heal a broken heart. I'm not prophetic, and I'm sure not God. But I do know, I don't even know sometimes how God works. But I heard Isaiah say it this way: my thoughts are not your thoughts. nor my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Brothers and sisters, I'm about to take my seat, but we got some work to do. And let me tell you something. Let me say it to you this way, because if you got something against your brother or your sister, let me say it again. It doesn't damage them. As a matter of fact, if you check on them, they running around in their life doing whatever they want to do. And you and I come to the house of word, the world of God, where we're supposed to be free in Christ Jesus. But let me say it again. If you're not careful, the devil will stop by. And if you let the devil get hold of your stuff, you will become unproductive. Come on, somebody. And I found out that God saved you and I, that God can use us unto his glory. Come on, somebody. Look around. Everybody ain't saved. Amen, somebody. God is looking for you and I to let our light so shine that men and women may see our good works and he be glorified in heaven. Don't worry about who pats you on the back. Come on, somebody. I just want to hear the Lord say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Come on, somebody. I just want to be there where every day is Sunday and Sabbath has no end. Amen. Free yourself. Free yourself. I don't know about you all. I'm working on my weight, Reverend Armstrong. Sister Brenda, she's a very good cook and can bake too, y'all. But church, last time I got on the scale, I was about 250. I ain't carrying no extra baggage. I serve a God who sits high and looks low, who's got enough power to put it on his shoulders and take care of it all. And if you're not careful, let me tell you something. Let God do the restoring. And here's where Paul messed up because of his unforgiveness and not forgetting. You better be careful, because you may have somebody may have to choose between you and somebody else. Come on, somebody. Forgive your brother. And here's the truth, that you may be forgiven. See, I don't know about you all. See, y'all might be a little bit more sanctified and holy than I am. But I got to pray daily for forgiveness. Because if I don't do it, my hands or my mouth, then I got to ask forgiveness for what I think about. Come on, somebody. See, it's one thing for somebody to do something against you. And even though it doesn't manifest itself physically, the fact that I sat there and contemplated it, in my head, I've already sinned before God. But Father, forgive me. Come on, somebody. If Jesus, who hung on the cross and died, can pray unto the Father, forgive them for they know not what they have done. Let me say it one more time. Who are you and I? In the name of Jesus. It's hard to forgive. And it's harder to forget. Let the church say amen. Come on, say amen one more time. Somebody shout hallelujah. Can I open the door? Amen, 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 amen. Amen. My brothers and sisters, I often say this, that no matter all that has taken place, this is the most important part of the service. That somebody who just said, I'm going to stop by, I'm going to attend Shiloh this morning. You may not be saved, but I need to tell you that you are here by appointment. And I want to make you an invitation. The first one is under baptism. If you have never confessed Jesus with your mouth that he is Lord and believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you can come right now. Don't worry about who's looking at you. Don't worry about what they're thinking about you, because I heard it said, if you ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you before God. My second invitation is under Christian experience. Amen, somebody. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody put their hands together and give the Lord a praise. God is able. God is able. Christian experience. You may be already saved and sanctified, but you don't have a church home. But God is speaking to your heart right now and says, come. Is there one today? Is there one? My last invitation is under restoration. You may have been a member of Shiloh Baptist Church at one time, but you left, and it doesn't even matter why. But you're here today. Come on, somebody ought to praise God. I'm talking about a sure enough praise. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Because my Bible tells me that the angels in heaven are rejoicing. Is there one? Is there another? Is there another? Holy Ghost, move like never before. Touch hearts and minds. Draw them unto your Son right now, God. Is there another? Is there another? Oh, come, 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 come while you got a chance. Come.